The story I was going to tell you, I won't leave you hanging. My son, last week, they were having this great big youth bash. I don't know, there was like 200-300 kids.
Four or 500
kids at this youth bash, and they had this great big blow-up boxing ring. And they were all, he was in there sparring with some of the kids, and a bunch of them were shaking it, and he fell out and cracked his head really good, got him a concussion. And concussion so bad he had to go to the ER, and there's a lot of things going on, I'll gross you out, but I mean, it really rung his bell pretty darn good. And there for a while, we was nervous. I thought I was going to lose Mama there for a few days. She was chomping at the bit to get out the door. And but he's doing good. But they gave his pastor up there, because of all that he put into this, and then realizing he rung his bell, said, you know what, I want you to take the next week off. I want you to do nothing. And you can't come here. Which sometimes you have to tell some pastors, you can't come here. Because he's the type that would be like, oh, I'll take it off, but I'm just going to go and, you know. And they said, just stay home. And I was talking to him just the other day, you know, and whatnot. And he said, man, Dad, I'm ready to get back there. I'm anxious. He said, this kind of, you know, you could tell it's been driving him nuts. The first few days was cool. You know, he's still a little dizzy, but he liked staying home. But after, by the end of the week, he was chomping at the bit to get back to minister. And what an opportunity we get to be able to have our pastors go away and get away for a while. It's good for us to do that so that they have that time away to refill. God has a time to minister and move, bless the family, because usually they come back ready to go. And that's when good things happen, is when they're ready to go and God has laid something on their heart. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to start out. The title of my lesson is, What Voices Are You Listening To? Many of us, all of us, have voices that we listen to. Some of us have more than others. Some of us have a lot of voices going on, but we have a lot of voices that we hear. And the secret to doing the will of God, and the secret to you staying on track in the season of life that you are in, is going to be the voices that you listen to. And the voices you listen to come mainly from what you surround yourself with. So I ask you again, what voices do you listen to? What voices are out there that influence you daily? I don't know about you, but one of the biggest voices I grapple with each and every day is my own mind. And I hate it sometimes. Sometimes just getting out of bed, sticking both my feet on the ground, and it's just like, oh, I can't do this, God. And then the fight's on. Yes, you can do this. You know, I'm not going to live in fear. Anxiety, get out of here, and we start going. And then as I go and I tackle jobs at work, sometimes my job can be a little bit stressful depending on what we're working with and what we're in. And a couple weeks ago, they sent me to a substation to work on the metering there, and I don't like substations as well. Because if something goes wrong, sometimes substations and the revenue meters there are tracking megawatts, not kilowatts, and a lot of money. And if you make a mistake, you can lose a lot of money. And if we make big mistakes, we don't just get calls from our bosses. We get calls from the CEO saying, what did you do and why did you do that? And so I get nervous. But sometimes dealing with my mind can be tricky, because there's a lot of things that come in and attack. And sometimes I'm not conscientious of what I'm feeding my mind all the time either. Sometimes I get busy in life, you know, doing this, doing that, as many of you do. There's so much to balance, there's so much to do, that sometimes we go through life and we don't feed our mind like we should. Feed it with positive things. Feed it with good things. Feed it with what is proper. And just like your body, if you don't feed your body right and good, if I eat Snickers bars all the time, pretty soon my body would be like, hey, you know, this ain't going to happen. We're not going to keep going because what you're feeding me is a bunch of junk. It might taste good for a bit, but it's a bunch of junk. And so it is with our mind. And in our mind, sometimes not only do we wrestle with anxieties and fears, but sometimes people wrestle with depressions. Sometimes in the mind, we wrestle with anger. Not everybody sees these things go on, but we wrestle with this in our mind. And we hear these things going on all the time. And dealing with those, sometimes we have to work as Christians to take control of what goes on in our mind. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we have to retrain it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And Verl, this morning I was in class and I had this verse set as the first scripture, one of my favorite ones. I always love to read, but I had it set, and Verl touched on this, and he actually had part of he read something in his Bible, and I thought, ooh, I like that. So I grabbed it from him, and it says, being transformed by a renewal of mind indicates a literal change in the form of formulas of thought of being. This describes redemptions, provisions of power to instill godliness in us, a power that transforms our thoughts and leads to formulating our purpose, which proceeds to dictate our actions, and thus our actions become character, determining habits, shaping the life and setting the course for the future. The path of godly living is not complicated, nor is it energized by the flesh, but it does call the believer to willingly submission to the Father's provision and ways. I love that in there because renewing our mind means allowing God to influence and change our thinking. And sometimes we have to change our thinking and form it after what God instituted as good and right. And that's not easy to do, especially when you're going through a time of depression. Sometimes when you're around negativity all the time, or maybe when you're not involved in places where the truth is real evident, it can be a struggle keeping things up here right. So we must feed our mind what is good and what is true. We must put ourselves with people who are going to help us strengthen our mind, build our mind, build our thoughts. Number two is the devil. Now, a couple months ago, I don't know, as you could tell, I'm really bad with times. To me, it's always just the other day. And my wife will tell me, no, that was 2 weeks ago. Sometimes she's like, no, that was 2 days ago. Sometimes she's like, that was a year ago, Ken. You know, but a couple months ago, I talked to you about the devil and his desire for you. And I don't know about you, but that's another thing, another voice that I hear in my head at times. I told you a couple months ago that he desires nothing good for you, only to destroy you and tear down everything good that you have. In John 8:44, the scripture says, he was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, it's a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And that old devil, many times, as we see on TV, just sits there, and times he'll put thoughts accusations, and things in our head. We either have the choice to listen to them, to entertain them, and to allow them to influence, or we have the choice to tell them, you know, Satan, get thee behind me. Get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you because I know what you want from me. You might be making me think or setting up these thoughts that make it that you desire good for me, but you don't. It's a lie. And church, we must realize that he is at work all the time. Remember when I told you that he is the accuser? He accuses us before God. He accuses God to us. God's not there for you. He's not listening to you. This happened because, you know, God don't care. Have you ever heard those things go on in your mind? That's the devil, folks. And we must realize that all the time he is trying to get his foot inside of the door to allow you to open up your thinking to let him in to do whatever. Because he knows if he can get up here and get in your mind, he can begin to affect not only your current thought, but he can affect your character, who you are. And he doesn't want that, folks. He doesn't want you to be somebody that is useful, that is a blessing, that is an encouragement to others. He doesn't want you to be steady, strong, and secure for other people to depend on. He doesn't want you to be a benefit in your community, a benefit in your home. He doesn't want you to be a benefit at work. Why? Because he wants to destroy it. Just like Scripture says. He walks around wanting to destroy, wanting to tear down. Why? Because his desire is to take every good thing that God loves and to destroy it because he knows that's what brings God pleasure. You bring God pleasure. When God looks at you, he looks at you and you're a blessing to him. You bring him joy, and the devil just hates it. Just hates. I don't know about you guys, but there's sometimes when I see my kids succeed, man, that's the greatest blessing. Man, I love it. When my kids would play sports, it brought me so much joy. And now with not only kids but grandkids, man, they bring me joy more than I ever thought. We bring God joy, and Satan wants to tear everything that you have up just so God won't have that joy. Does he care about you? Like I said before, no. Not any bit at all. And we have to remind that. Why is it that we let him come in and sit and stay for a while? There's times we get tired, we get down, and we let him come in and whether it's we entertain anger all the time. Some of us have this anger that goes on inside and it runs free at times and runs rampant. And that devil gets in and it allows, and it's not good. Doubt, there's a lot of doubt that the devil always brings along. You can't do that. You're not good enough for that. You're not good enough at all to accomplish that. You know, you're really not that good of a mother. Or maybe you're not that good of a father. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but I have. We continually hear him. In church, we have to take control. We don't have to allow him to sit and stay. We don't have to allow him to come in, and we don't have to have a seat that has his name on it in our life. We need to throw that out. And church, we need to get to a place in our life to where when we recognize, when that Holy Spirit says, hey, that's him, that we turn right around and we look him right in the eye and say, you know what, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I want you to get away from me. Whatever it is we're grappling with, whether he's filling our mind with temptation, when that Holy Spirit says it's him, we need to turn and deal with it. When it's doubt, when we're facing a situation and we think, you know what, I can't handle this, and we realize it's him talking to us saying, you know what, we don't got what it takes, we need to turn him and say, you know what, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. What you say has no effect on my life because you're a liar and the father of it. So get thee behind me, Satan. And church, we need to be aggressive about that. We need to put him in his place. Those are two of the big ones. Two voices that go on in my head. I've got quite a few. I know some of you think, yeah, we know, kid. You've got a lot of voices that go through your head. But other voices that play a big part in our life is, I'm going to group them together for time's sake today, is friends and family. My life has been blessed tremendously with good friends. I have been fortunate throughout my life to have people who have come in and just been a tremendous blessing. I've had people who were great. They were wise. And there were times I was going through situations and circumstances and I'd want somebody to talk to. And of course, I always had my folks. I had incredible parents. But I also wanted to talk to sometimes people outside of my parents. You know, somebody different. Get a different perspective, a view, a thought. And I've been lucky to have one in particular that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. Actually, him and his wife, Dick and Lolly. There's times I'd go to him and I'd say, hey, what about this? And I was so thankful because he was always a man that stood in truth and in the word. And sometimes he wouldn't always tell me what I wanted to hear, which was good. But he was always there and just a tremendous blessing, tremendous friend. And then I had friends that were just crazy. And they were such a blessing. I had one in particular that I was blessed with. He was just great. He was the type of guy who I would do something and just make a mess. I would make a mess of a situation. And he was the type of friend that would come in and say, well, I like what you did with the place. You know, and he'd be standing there and I'd be standing in my mess and I'd be thinking, Rick, I don't know what I was thinking. And he goes, well, judging from the looks of things, probably not much at all. You know? And sometimes people would say, why do you like friends like him? Why? Because he was standing with me in my mess. And I don't know about you, but there's times when you go and you step into a big old mess and everything's just burned down around and you're standing in the middle of that. Sometimes the friends, they're running for the doors. Oh, it was stupid. They're going. But then you have some that are just right there in the mess with you. I've also had a friend, too, that he was ornery, but he was always poking me with the word. Always challenged me with the word. There's times I don't want to talk about this. You know, and he'd come at me. And he's ornery to where he would, what, are you backslidden or what? You know, and he would, or he would do things and he would always challenge, and he still does it to this day. He'll call me up. And he's always challenging me with the word of God, always doing the things. And I've been blessed in my life with friends, encouragement, people who have put into my life, people who have been voices that have given me strength, given me that helping hand, that word of encouragement, that word of wisdom, that word of instruction when I didn't want it, but they gave it to me anyway because they love me. And man, I'm so thankful for that. And I encourage you folks, if you don't have them, find them. Find good people who will be them voices to you when you need them because they're valuable. Because you know what? You're human. You're not Superman. You're not Superwoman. There will come times when you will be weak, or when the devil and all hell has you right in their sights, and they're going to say, we are going to take you down and we are going to destroy you. And you will need people to rely on, people who will have your back in them times, people who are not afraid to get dirty, who are not afraid to fight when the devil is wanting to do everything he can. Find them, keep them, and cherish them, because they're a blessing. And I have told you of friends and family that are good. Not always are they good. Sometimes we have acquaintances or friends that aren't always encouraging. Sometimes we have those around who are negative Nellies all the time. They're the ones that are always talking about the garbage that goes on. Those who at times might be getting in trouble, might be encouraging you in some trouble. Ones that when you're facing a situation and circumstance might not encourage you to succeed. Ones, and sometimes it's not always friends, sometimes it is friends, but there are always those out there who are critics of what you are doing, how you are living, what's going on in your life. There's times God has given us a task to do. And I don't know about you, but sometimes God says, Ken, I want you to accomplish this. And I look at him and go, what? I can't do that. I can't accomplish that. That's not who I am. You know who I am. I mean, you've seen me for 48 years. You know who I am. And that's not me. And God says, Ken, I want you to do it. Okay. So I go in and you start fumbling around and you start making a mess of it. And thinking, God, why did you call me? Somebody would be a whole lot better than me to do this. And then you have the friends or the people come in. They criticize. They tell you, you know what, dude, you just need to let that go because it ain't going to work for you. It ain't going to happen. Or they criticize and they tell you, you know what, you don't got what it takes. We have them voices, have them people that come in and say them kind of things. And we have to be very careful at who we listen to. Because this world, a lot of times, will first criticize you when they see you dropping the ball. They'll be the first to say, you know what? You bit off more than you could chew, bud. What was you thinking? And we need to be careful about listening. Because, folks, when God gives you a task, when he sets something before you, and says, I want you to accomplish this. He already knows how well you're going to handle that ball. He already knows how many times you're going to drop it. He just wants to see if you'll carry it. And we can't be worried about what other people think. We can't be worried about these things going on in our heads telling us just how insufficient we really are to deal with this situation. We got to stay focused on him, focused on his word. I read some amazing stories of people who didn't listen to what others said and ended up benefiting well. Walt Disney. Did you know that he was fired from Kansas City Star because his editor felt he lacked imagination and had no good ideas? True story. But Elvis Presley, after a performance at Nashville's Grand Ole Opry, Elvis was told by a concert hall manager that he was better off returning to Memphis and driving trucks, his former career. There's always those people out there. Lucille Ball. Before her iconic show, I Love Lucy, Lucille was considered a failed actress. A B-list actress, so much so that her drama instructor urged her to try another profession. Tell you a story about my son. my son when he was he was a senior, and he decided to go to Rhema to college. And I was just like, oh, you're crazy, son. And he goes, well, Dad, that's what I want to do. And I took him to multiple colleges within 2 hours of here, of Council Bluffs. I wanted him close. He wanted to go down there. And at the time, I'm thinking, oh, I don't want him to do this. I don't want you to do this. And one day he come home and said, Dad, one of my teachers told me I was throwing my life away by doing what I'm doing. And inside, I'm thinking, well, I was torn because I didn't want him to go down there. I didn't want him to go away because I was always thinking, what's going to happen if he goes down there? But I told him, I said, you can't listen to that teacher, son. I said, you do what you feel you need to do. What's funny is he left, went down there, and the little punk did well. What's funny is he come back, and he was back, and they grabbed him right out of college and said, I want you to work here, pastor there in Oakland, at Fellowship of Faith, seeing his talent. He wanted to grow it, wanted to minister. And so Zach came right back and went to work. The guy blessed him and ministered. But you know what was amazing is many of you heard, down in Oakland, there was a bus tragedy where a bus driver and a young girl got trapped in a bus and they died. And they asked my son to do the funeral. So him and the pastor did it. And I think there was a lot of people there. I can't remember how many hundreds of people. But afterward, he had the opportunity to minister to the teacher. We never know what God's got in store. Amen. There's always critics. There's always people there who, when you present an idea, this is what God's laid upon my heart, or this is what I've got to do, there'll always be people, even your loved ones. Even at times I told them, Zach, I don't want you to go down there. What are you thinking? I mean, didn't you see all these other colleges that we went to? We went to some cool colleges. Come on, son. And these two had to go 7-8 hours away. But look at the things that happened. I couldn't see. I didn't know. But God had plans in store for my kids. And so there's always critics, folks. There's always critics that will tell you, don't do that. That's not wise. That's not good. Our culture is another voice we hear and see all the time, folks. Probably one of the ones you hear the most and see the most. How do I know that? Because I walk around and many of us do this all the time. We get influenced through our technology tremendously. It isn't always the truth. It isn't always what is right. The voice is coming through them. The voice is coming through that square box that we have hanging on our wall. Aren't always the truth. They're not always the right idea, the good idea. And we have to be careful not to allow it to shape us. We need to allow only one to shape who we are. First, and that is God, through His Word. Why is it, folks, why is it so much or so easy to allow ourselves to be influenced by these other things than it is to stick our face in the Word of God and allow Him to influence us? Why is it hard for us to slow down and take time to allow God to come in and just talk to us? That's been the biggest question I know God's asked me sometimes, because sometimes he's like, dude, I have to just, to get your attention, to get you to stop. I have to use your wife all the time. Boy, you're lucky to have a wife. And she does. Sometimes she goes, I want you to watch this program. I don't want to watch this program. She, what was that program you were saying?
Chosen.
Huh?
Chosen.
She tried and tried to get me to sit down and watch this program, and I'm blood and guts. You know, let's put in Rambo or something like that. And she kept, no, I don't want to watch it. I don't. And she constantly, I want you to watch, listen to this. And I know I don't. And then finally, one day I was so tired after working, I was just like, she goes, we're going to watch this. I sat down, and man, was it food for my mind. It blessed my heart and ministered to me. And I felt so convicted. Afterward, I was like, you're so stupid sometimes because you fight it so much, but it's so good because it ministered to my soul. It ministered to my heart. Why do we fight it so much? I don't know about you, but my excuse is just sometimes I'm dumb. But I want to encourage you, don't fight it so much, church. We are blessed in this time that we live in with so many different people who can benefit us tremendously. So many different ministers. We have got ministers out there that works just for you. We all have different personalities, I know. But there are some out there that are just right down my alley and that bless and feed my mind. And encourage my mind, encourage my heart. And I encourage you to listen to them, to allow them to be a part of your life, allow them to put into your life. Folks, because we need that. Again, folks, just what that first phrase I said, the secret to you doing the will of God and staying on track in the season of your life is going to be the voices that you listen to. The voices that we listen to many and usually are the voices that influence us to be who we are, to say what we say, to do what we do. Why not allow our voices or allow the voice that's in our head to be the one who says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Who does that? And the voices in your head, how many of them actually do that? How many have plans to give you a hope? How many have plans to prosper you? Those should be the voices that you allow to influence you. Not the ones that are negative, not the ones that are tearing you down, not the ones that are discouraging all the time. And don't get me wrong, sometimes in life we're not always going to have people who are going to sing sunshine and roses to us and tell us everything we want to hear. We need people in our life who tell us at times what we don't want to hear. That tell us, hey, I don't think that's wise. Or tell us, like my one friend, hey, that's pretty stupid, dude. We need them. But we need to make sure that the loudest voice in our head is the one that has plans for us. Plans to give us hope. Who wants us to succeed. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Boy, I'm getting to that time in life when and then I got to raise my glasses because they stuck my bifocals way down here. You know, it's terrible when you got to do this whole deal to read anything anymore. I'm like, my goodness sakes. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you
Incline your ear to hear wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, you will understand and fear the Lord.
Why do we want to do that, folks? Why is it that we want to understand and fear the Lord? Because God says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the truth, and I am the life. It goes on to, in John 8, 31 and 32, and Jesus said to those Jews who... those Jews who believed him, if you abide in me and my words, I got to start over because it all went blurry there for a second. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Why is it, folks, that we hunger and thirst after God, his voice? Because it's in him that we find freedom. It's in him that we find truth. He is the truth. And I don't know about you, but the more I watch our culture, the more I turn on the TV, I find myself searching for truth and never finding it sometimes with what's going on. And sometimes I get frustrated and angry because so many times they put a spin on truth, which makes it a lie, but they put a spin on it. And that's not right, and that's not real. But sometimes they hire people just to do that, folks. The media sometimes hires people just to put a spin on truth. And to me, you can't do that, because it's not truth then. And they put these spins on behavior, on conduct, on who people should be. They put these spins on it where it's just got enough of this in here that makes it appear to be truth, but it's not truth. And sometimes I get so frustrated because some of our culture is buying what they're selling, and it's not truth. And so what I want to encourage you people today is we need to allow God's voice to be the one that influences us through his word, through sound doctrine, because that's where we find the truth. And it's the truth that creates freedom in our life. And I don't know about you, but I want freedom. Freedom from what, Ken? Freedom from anxiety. I want freedom from fear. I want freedom from anger. I want freedom sometimes from this hamster wheel that I continually run in and never, never get to where I want to be. I'm so fatigued and tired sometimes. It wears you out, gets you broke down. That's exactly where the devil wants you to be. And sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit saying, stop! Sit down and listen to how we're going to do this. Do you have a situation in your life, a circumstance in your life that you're just grappling with and you're just wore out? Allow God the time to talk. Pray, folks. Spend time in prayer. So many times in my life, it seems like my life's a blur. You know, with work and this and that and this and that. And sometimes I get flustered because I'm like, God, I didn't hear you. God, I need you to write it on the wall. And so many times God's talking to us, we're just moving too fast to hear what he's saying. This world's created enough noise that it drowns out God sometimes when he's trying to help us with things. And we allow all this other drama, all this other anxiety, all this other stuff to go on, and the whole time God's talking to us, but you know what? We're not hearing. Because God, he's not one that's jumping up and down saying, hey, listen to me. No. Usually he's the still small voice. That if we would take the time, if we take the time and listen and allow him to be that main voice in our head, he will instruct, he will lead, and he will guide, and he will walk us in a life of truth and a life of freedom. And I don't know about you, but I know our world is desiring both of those, something fierce. They find themselves so many times wishing that they could have just a little bit of truth, because they understand it too. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to talking with my coworkers, and they know who I am. And every once in a while, they'll talk to me and say, Ken, what's up with this world? Man, this is messed up. They see it's not truth that's coming out. They know it's lies. They know it's not real. What's being fed to them? They know. And I've seen them and heard them sometimes say, man, I just wish I could trust what people were saying. I wish it was real. And what he's saying is, I wish it was true. And I tell him, say, you know what, bud? It's not, but I know somebody that is. That's truth. That's life. That'll give you life. If you take the time, he'll take away that life full of anxiety. You don't have to worry all the time because he's got you in control. It might seem like it's out of control, but he's got you. That anger, sometimes it's so overwhelming that it's hard to control. Sometimes it's just like a consuming fire in some where they battle it. God can give the strength to overcome and quench that anger and give you a life of peace and a life of love. Because you all know as well as I do, if you don't love, you have nothing. Those are God's words, not mine. So I encourage you, church. I encourage you. What voices are you listening to? What voices are you allowing to influence you? The devil will keep you busy. He'll keep you busy so that he can keep just the right voices in your head to influence you and to control you. We talked about that this morning. It's all about control. They want to control. They want to steer you. Allow God to be the loudest voice that you listen to, the one that encourages you. Sometimes what he says might scare you to death. But believe and trust him. And watch what happens in your life. You want freedom from something? Give it to him. Give it to him. Love him. Listen to what he has to say about it. Pray. In Psalms, I can't remember where that was off the top of my head. Psalms 25 says, show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait. On you I will wait. I encourage you, wait on him. But pray to him. God, teach me your ways. Show me. Show me how to overcome. Show me how to live a life of freedom. And he will, folks. And he will. I promise you, he's done it for me. He has done it for me. And I'm not just standing up here saying it. I can stand up here before you, and I've not had the easiest life in the world. A lot of it my own fault. But my God has been faithful so many times to make something beautiful out of the mess that I created. I'm amazed at how he does that stuff. I'm amazed at how he does that stuff sometimes. But he's been faithful to me. He has been faithful, and he will to you.